I'm Dan Prescher. International Living correspondent Don Murray just got back from a pretty enviable assignment, taking a look at the island of Roatan. Don gives us a brief on his findings on this edition of International Living's Editor Debrief. Don, thank you so much for joining me today. This, of course, is an editor's debrief, and you got a plum assignment. Tell our listeners where you got sent.
I did. I had the tough assignment of going to Roatan, a gorgeous tropical Caribbean island off the coast of Honduras. And when I got the assignment from the office, it was all I could do to say yes as quickly as possible.
Not bad duty. And I know, because I know you, that you're not really a beach kind of guy. And Roatan, of course, is just a huge, beautiful beach destination and diving destination. Did that bump you out at all?
You know, not only am I not the world's best beach guy, but I'm probably among a handful of folks that isn't really fond of islands. And I've been to a number of islands. You know, I've been to, thanks to my military career and a bit of travel on my own and the magazine, I've seen a bunch of islands. And most of the time, I can hardly wait to get off the island. But in this case, it was the only island that tempted me to stay. I loved Roatan.
Wow. What was it about Roatan that differentiated it from other islands that you've known?
Well, I think probably the first thing that surprised me was the gorgeous topography. It is an island that rises from the ocean about almost 1,000 feet into the sky. It's got gorgeous valleys and rolling hills and probably a couple of tall peaks that approach 1,000 feet above sea level. And it's verdant jungle. It was covered with green, lush vegetation. And so even if it wasn't surrounded by perfectly calm Caribbean water, the island itself is absolutely stunningly beautiful, and that surprised me.
Wow. Give us the lay of the land. How do you get onto the island, and where are most of the people based there?
Well, the island is a small island, and to get onto the island, I actually live in Mexico, as you and certainly know, and some of your readers may know. Diane and I live on the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, so to get there, I had to go to Cancun, which is a couple hours, and catch a plane to Miami, and then fly from Miami down to Roatan. It's not the easiest place in the world to get to from Mexico, but from most of the major hubs in the U.S., there's a number of them where you can catch a direct flight. But I had to zigzag about 5 hours to get there, but I'll tell you, it was sure worth the trip.
Very cool. And it is a major dive destination as well, so for divers, it's those guys know how to get there. Is diving the only thing that goes on Roatan? What was your brief to find out everything you could about Roatan?
Yeah, what International Living asked me to do was to actually explore Roatan from a couple of different perspectives. Number one, is it a good place for expats to live? Expats that are considering an island life. Would Roatan be a good consideration? The answer is absolutely yes. The other thing they asked me to do was to take a look at the real estate, availability of real estate there, both from a perspective of buying as an owner and also as an investor. And I've written a piece for that, which I think comes out possibly in December, on the investment opportunities in Roatan, which I think are stunning. And Dan, to tie that into the dive destination, which is where you were headed, everything about Roatan has to do with diving. It is one of the world's, if not the world's, most premier dive destination, which means even before I got there, while I was in an airport in Miami, the plane that was being loaded was loaded with everybody was talking about diving and what excursions they wanted to go to and what reef. And that continued through my entire visit, which is a very good thing for investors because there's a very vibrant market for Airbnb rentals there. So an investor could buy a condo, maybe only visit once or twice a year, or maybe not even visit for 2 or 3 years, leave it with a reliable management company, and actually do quite well.
Wow. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's talk about folks who might actually want to make Roatan their permanent home? What are the opportunities like for them? Is shopping available? The expat community is, I assume, well organized. What would it be like to live there full time?
Well, I had the good fortune to speak to a number of expats that have lived there for a number of years, and all of them love it. And I think with regard to island life, you either like it or you don't, because yeah. You are a bit isolated. You're off the coast of Honduras. The mainland Honduras is, while Roatan is certainly attached to it through its governmental resources, it is in no way attached to it culturally. Mm. It is entirely different. Roatan is very safe. You can live there without ever going off the island, but it would be a little bit tough. For one reason, the medical care is really much improved, most recently because of a new hospital they built there. Hospitals, I'm going to say it wrong, probably, forgive me, Samena, and it is a new private hospital. But for those folks that want major medical care, they may be more comfortable going to the mainland of the U.S. or the mainland of Honduras. Mm-hmm. The cost of living is reasonable for an island. The one expense that everyone complained about was the cost of electricity. Roatan does have the highest cost for electricity of any island in the Caribbean.
Wow.
If you let the air conditioner, yeah, the air conditioner runs all day, you're going to have a $500 or $600 a month electrical bill for a two-bedroom condo. Most folks don't even only run it at night.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's possible to do. And the expat community sounds like it's longstanding and well-organized, as you'd probably expect from a premier dive destination like that. A lot of divers like to stick to the places they love. You also mentioned the great Airbnb and rental opportunities because of that built-in dive industry and the people that are coming for that. So tell us a little bit about that.
The homes in Roatan fall into generally two categories. One is a standalone single-family house. Many of them are built up on stilts where the lower level, the main living level would be up above, and the lower level would be used for rental units. So if you were going to build a home there, you would probably live on the upper level and build three or four or five small rooms with baths attached for your rental properties for the Airbnb industry. And that is a fairly typical scenario. The other scenario is to buy a condo, and there are many condos available for sale for $250,000 to $350,000 would get you a very nice condo that would be suitable for rental use. And the occupancy rate runs about 95% during the high season.
Wow.
And there are plenty of opportunities to build. But Dan, I have to say, the one bit of a glitch that you have to work through is while the island is gorgeous, it is not entirely accessible. In other words, there might be land available that has no road access, and yet it may be available, may be accessible rather, by water, by taking a boat. So it is not completely overrun with roads at all. It's hard to get into some of the more beautiful parts of the land, terrain. Access can be limited. You have to cut your own roads in. So it's still emerging, but it's on the way up.
So the logistics can be a little challenging. Did you see a lot of construction while you were there? Is that part of the island under bustling concern?
You know, I did see a bit of construction. And again, most of what I saw were the houses built up on pillars, with the rental units being built underneath and the main living quarters living above being above. The island you asked about is basically a long, skinny island. They refer to it in terms of the compass, the west side or the west end, and then the east end of the island. Mm-hmm. The west end of the island is more touristy in that that's where most of the hotels and the dive resorts are located. The east end is also very nice, but that's not quite as developed yet. That's where a lot of the locals live.
What about language considerations? It is, of course, part of Honduras. Do you need Spanish to live there?
Like a lot of the tourist destinations across the globe, there is a bit of English that's been spoken in the areas that serve tourists. Because I have a bit of a Spanish under my belt, I got along quite well speaking Spanish there. If you stayed with the resorts and with the tour group as a tourist, you can just get along with English just fine. But to actually get out and see a bit of the island and work your way around with the drivers and so forth,
yeah,
having a bit of Spanish is helpful.
Did you get a feeling for the general cost of living? The expats that you spoke to must have had something. They obviously mentioned the cost of electricity. What about the rest of the cost of living on the island? Is it reasonable?
It really is. For an island especially, I took a survey of every expat I talked to, and the average seemed to run around $2,500 per month equivalent. You could live a very nice life. Mm. Some people spend $5,000 or $6,000 a month and don't know where it goes. Other people get along on $2,000 a month, but around $2,500 to $3,000 seems to be a number where folks could live a very nice life on an island in the Caribbean.
Yeah, pretty decent for island living. You mentioned the high season and the low season. What's it like there during the low season? Do you get a feel for what people do when the divers don't come, or are there always divers on the island?
Yeah, there's always divers, but as you might suspect, during traditional vacation times and school vacations, the island becomes more crowded. In the winter months, snowbirds tend to come down, but during the Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays and all other holidays, that's their busiest times. Again, it's a tourist destination, so you would expect that during the vacation times and school vacations, it would be more crowded.
Yeah.
But you can live there year-round. There's always divers that come. They can take their annual vacation whenever they want, and there's always divers that come. But I know in January, last January, in 1 week, the first week of January, saw 10,000 divers come in 1 week.
Oh, and my God.
That's not uncommon.
Wow. Don, thank you so much for the brief. It sounds like you had a good time there on Roatan, even if you're not an island guy. Can't wait to read the story. You say that's coming up in September? It would be September's already come and gone, hasn't it? It should be coming up quite soon here.
It has here. You know, Dan, as you're probably aware, the writers sometimes lose track of their pieces once they're submitted. A couple of pieces have already been published. I think there's a real estate piece coming out in December, mm-hmm. and I think the main focal piece came out maybe in November. Honestly, I haven't had a minute to even look yet. But the November-December issues of International Living will have some good coverage on Roatan.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it. Don, thank you so much. Much appreciated. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Always good to talk to you, Dan.